the common thread I would see the most is, what was the need I was uniquely positioned to meet? And there's so many people that their story was written for where they are now.
Welcome to the Embedded Church Podcast, where we share stories about reweaving the connections between place, the built environment, and the mission of God.
Season 4 of the Embedded Church Podcast is produced in partnership with the Orman Center at Duke Divinity School. The mission of Orman Center is to foster the imagination, will, and ability of congregations and communities to be agents of thriving.
I'm Eric Jacobson.
And I'm Sarah Joy Prope, and we'll be your hosts on today's episode of the Embedded Church Podcast. Hey, y'all, here we are again in part 2 of season 4, and we are moving on into place. So our interview with Amy Sherman, we focused on shalom, and now we're going to unpack the idea of place a bit more with somebody who's practicing that on the street. We have Adam Ward, who hails from Columbus, Ohio. So I'm excited to have y'all hear about him.
Yeah, I'm excited as well, Sarah Joy. What I particularly like about Adam as our emblematic place representative today is Adam's got a podcast, but unlike a lot of podcasters who want to sort of sweep the market and whatnot, Adam seems really content to keep his podcast hyper-local. He really wants to talk about Columbus for people who live in Columbus, which is such a great way of thinking about place. He really wants people to love their town and love the ministry that's going on in their particular town, which is kind of all about place.
Totally. I agree. And I think what it reminds me of is Chris Alessara in episode 2, when we were talking about place with him, he brought up that book, Our Towns, which it was a couple that I think traveled across America and did some exploratory work about what towns were thriving and what towns were struggling. And one of the main things that they really discovered, the commonality among the towns that were thriving, was that they all had this civic story that they were very aware of and that they were actively telling. And so that civic story actually birthed hope and love of the town amongst its residents and really created just a dynamic there that made these towns much more flourishing. So I think it's cool to hear Adam telling the stories of Columbus, and he effectively is creating this resiliency for Columbus, whether or not he's aware of it. So I think that's really cool.
I love that as well. Yeah, he definitely holds that story out and helps people celebrate their city. The other thing that's cool about this interview is he talks about how ministry tends to thrive best in a particular culture. He's not a big fan of best practices only because oftentimes the practice that's succeeding is succeeding because it's been birthed out of a particular culture and it's going to work only in that culture. And that's exactly what we've been talking about with Wendell Berry's bucket imagery, that the soil of Kentucky is going to be different from the soil at St. Paul or the soil in Tacoma, and things are going to grow differently in those different soils. In the same way, ministry is going to succeed in a particular context and maybe not cross over to another context just as well. So it's really good for Adam to be focusing in on what's working in particular contexts. So anyway, I'm excited to share this with y'all.
Me too. Let's get it rolling.
Sounds great. I'm excited to be here with Sarah Joy and our guest Adam Ward today from Four Columbus, a fellow podcaster who's joining us on our podcast. So welcome, Adam. It's good to have you on the show.
Man, I'm thrilled to be on. I love your guys' work, and thanks for having me on the show.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I was telling Eric that he's raising the stakes because he brought another podcaster onto our
podcast.
Adam
is like professional.
I was like, he's going to totally show us up, Eric, but here we go.
Oh, no. I wish we could show a picture of his setup. There is.
I know. It's so fancy.
Really, really fancy. So we are definitely out of our league, but we're honored to have you with us today. So in all honesty, I'm pretty excited about what you're doing. I think it's such a great idea. And it's something other churches, I think other church, our community leaders could pick up. So I'm excited for people to find out about it.
Yeah, thank you.
So first of all, tell us a little bit about the origin of the Four Columbus podcast. Tell us about how that got started.
Yeah, I know. So I was a triathlete for many years. And so when I stopped racing formally in triathlon, I kept riding my bike. And I was on my bike one day and I just felt like God said, hey, why don't you create a show that talks about what faith leaders are doing in Columbus and let them talk about it? And so I said, okay, I don't know what I'm doing, but I'll figure it out. that's actually where the origin came from. I can show you exactly where on a map I was on my bike at the time.
That's awesome.
That's amazing, because I would say I am the same way in terms of ideas come to me on my bike. It's some of my best time for just processing things and being like, okay, God, where do you want to take me?
Oh, that's awesome. God, it's just cool, not me.
I commute on my bike and it's literally 0.7 miles. I don't have enough time on the seat to actually get any great ideas. So that's probably explains a lot.
Yeah, you're really stymied in that area.
I got to get a little longer, I think.
Is this a full-time gig then that you're doing now, or is this on the side? What does that look like for you?
No, so that's funny because I don't actually have a full-time anything right now. Okay. I would say I'm full-time Columbus right now.
Awesome.
And the podcast is one of the things that I do. But actually, everything that I'm doing for my city right now, I do based on my experience, and it's not paid. This is all volunteer effort.
So what kinds of guests have you had on the podcast? Can you tell us a little bit more about the format and what that looks like on and is it a weekly podcast, or how often do you release episodes?
Well, I like to do it every week, but it's probably averages about once every 3 weeks right now. But we here in Columbus like to think of the Big C Church in three different spheres overlapping, you know, Venn diagram as the congregation, parachurch, or nonprofit ministries, and then the marketplace. And the marketplace, sometimes we talk about this, you know, civil servants being in that or sometimes not in that, but our guests go across all of those. Awesome. We've had social agency leaders, you know, small church pastors, large church pastors, ministry leaders, business owners. If you're a Christian leader doing something cool in Columbus, I'm trying to track you down.
Has it become a competition in Columbus of who gets invited to your podcast?
No. Like the A-list.
Yeah. Most of the time, I'm open to almost anybody. Mm-hmm. I just don't like to get into questionable doctrine or stuff that's away from faith-based issues. But no, there's no competition to be on it.
That's awesome. So what would you say is the purpose of your podcast? What are you after? What are you trying to do?
Really inform about what's happening and celebrate what's happening here in Columbus with believers that are leaders. And it's just easy to know what's happening there. It's hard to know what's going on in Columbus. We have, you know, over 2 million people and, you know,
that's close a big, to 2,000. That's a big city. That's a much bigger city than I would have guessed, actually.
23rd in the U.S. That's so awesome. It's a big and, you know, almost a couple thousand churches, 1,100 evangelical churches and a bunch of mainline. And so, I mean, it's a big spot to cover. And so, I mean, even with me scratching the surface, just under 100 guests, it's just a fraction of who we have here.
Right.
In terms of your audience, then, is it mostly pastors and churches that are tuning in or all across the nonprofit sector?
Yeah, I like to think of the leaders in those three spheres as being the primary target. Mm-hmm. And those are the ones I probably get the most feedback from. Mm-hmm. And then the secondary would be, hey, they're probably someone in their faith who's looking to that next, or they're involved in multiple things and they don't just see themselves associated with one congregation or one nonprofit. And then we got people that drop in from, you know, all over the U.S., but I'll respond to them. But my target's Columbus.
Yeah.
That's cool. So it's really focused on the local.
It is.
That's really cool. What have you enjoyed most about producing the podcast? What's been most fun for you?
Well, I'm curious by nature. So just meeting incredible people and hearing literally miraculous stories behind how they got to where they are. You know, former felons, former people who were trafficked leading anti-trafficking, judges who have changed policy based on purpose-driven life. I mean, just crazy stuff that you would say, you know what, I never would have known this had I not talked deep with this person. And that I think that's a big deal, the pre-interview. But then that also helps that when I get in the interview, I can act like I kind of know something. But yeah, those incredible stories behind every single person. It's just, I love it.
That's so cool. That's so fun. Especially, I love that combined with the local focus. It's like these people, you've probably driven by their church or you've seen the sign, but have no idea the incredible stories behind that.
Right.
And then you just find out. I love it.
So thinking about the fact that it's so hyper-local, can you tell us a little bit about Columbus and give us some orientation to that context? You told us it's a city of 2 million, but right. I don't know much past that yet.
Yeah. I mean, it depends on how you define Columbus. So there's the city, there's Franklin County, there's the seven counties, there's 11, 17, you know, depending how it all gets diced. So somewhere between 2.2 and 2.5 million people. Geographically, not very exciting. kind of flat, a lot of agriculture. We do have some areas, and we got a couple rivers that flow through here that have created valleys. But this is a former industry town, and we've been slowly moving into high tech, and we have some great healthcare here, great healthcare startups. We actually have a pretty good startup scene. Obviously, it's a college town with Ohio State and the Buckeyes just north of downtown, bunch of really nice suburbs. And it's like you would imagine a Midwest city. And the people here, I think for the most part, we love Columbus.
Is there anything that you would consider like a quintessential Columbus experience? It could be anything. Like you're with a bunch of friends, and all of a sudden you're like, this is so Columbus, like what we're doing.
Number one is going to be a Saturday in the football season. So tailgating, I remember when I first moved here and people were like, this is a special time of year. Yeah. I don't do stuff on Saturdays. And that's quintessential Columbus. But we have, you know, just a bunch of things. We have world-class zoo here. You know, the late Jack Hanna was heavily involved in that zoo, and just some historic places around town. I think our metropolitan statistic area covers over 3,000 square miles. So there's a bunch of places to go and see stuff. You could be downtown, you know, taking in the metropolis. 20 minutes later, you can see a pair of bald eagles nesting along the Olentangy River. It's just really cool.
Wow. That's cool.
That's awesome. The same thing here in Minnesota in terms of getting to see bald eagles along the river. It's always right. Such a joy. It never gets old either.
Like, it does not.
There's an eagle.
It's always, unless you have a small dog, then...
Way to take it down a notch. So it's been really fun talking about Columbus and getting a little more oriented to some of the things that you've got going on there. And part of that discussion is really because we're focusing on place and the value of place in this season of our podcast. And so I'd be curious to hear from you. Do you feel that your podcast has really influenced people's perspective and value of Columbus as a place? And how have you seen that play out?
This Columbus Midwest town, we have a lot of pride in stuff that succeeds in our city, whether it's Cover My Meds getting an IPO, being bought, if it's the Buckeyes winning a national championship or the Big Ten championship, or just someone from our area getting in Congress. Like we celebrate that. So I think people that listen to this podcast and hear, I mean, we have so many Columbus natives on the podcast that it just makes them love their town even more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you think it creates an identity that maybe, I mean, it sounds like there is an identity there already, but adds to that identity in an even stronger way?
I do. And I think it's kind of bittersweet because some of the podcasts cover issues. I mean, Ohio's number two in the nation for opioid. We fell from 4 to 5 in human trafficking. You learn about those things, but then you learn about the incredible things that people are doing to combat that stuff. So some of it's Pandora's box. You know, if you get into an episode, you may not even know about it. And then all of a sudden you're crying with a person because of, you know, what they're doing.
Right.
Do you think there's some sense of best practices where people hear like, oh, that's a really cool program. We should either help out with that or we should get something started like that, you know, in our neighborhood? Do you think there's some encouragement that way?
Yeah, I'm always so leery of copying best practices because there was an entire culture that built that best practice, right?
Yeah.
And a framework that was in place to support that. And I do think some of the best practices can be translated from one institution to another. I think for us, I probably would like to push more around, if you see someone passionate doing well in something, how can your organization partner with them and you share people or space or resources to grow together? Especially, you know, church wants to do a food pantry or they want to get into substance recovery or prison ministry. There's so many organizations out there that do stuff like that. You know, of course, the churches, you know, a lot of pastors will say, oh, I'd like to try that and do stuff. But for the most part, I really would like them to connect, contribute to each other's causes.
Right. Well, I was thinking sometimes like a particular culture you know, it's distinctive to your area. Some things are going to work better in that culture. There's a church across town from us that is doing Bible studies for women. You know, we've done obviously women's Bible study, you know, Wednesday night at 7 o'clock or whatnot. But this one church did like a 9 p.m. Bible study for women. And we were like, what? That's crazy. And they're like, oh, it's totally thriving because somehow that worked. The moms put their kids to bed, their husbands would stick around and, you know, just be there on the premises, but then they could go at 9 and do this. And I was just thinking, someone who knows that, and that's not a geographical culture, that's like a demographic culture. Yeah. But still, that was other churches were like, oh yeah, why have we not thought about doing a 9 p.m. Bible study for moms?
Yeah, no, I certainly hear that. And I get a lot of emails, a lot of texts. Hey, heard so-and-so on this, you know, on this podcast. Can you connect me with them? Honestly, my favorite thing probably is when I find out later that someone I connected ended up doing some great project together. And yeah, then they tell me or they send me the results of that project. And I'm like, this person was on a guest of the podcast. I connected them and they went and did this.
Like, love it.
That's so yeah, cool.
Well, you're almost mapping out the social networks of Columbus in so many ways. And that's amazing.
It does help do that. Yeah.
Yes.
That's really
very cool.
Yeah. So I was going to ask that, but you already answered it. Maybe you've got more to say about that. But have you seen some like cooperation happen between ministries that get highlighted on your show?
Yeah. I mean, obviously, there's a bunch of people that don't want to cooperate. They've got their hands full doing what they want to do. There are a lot of people that are looking for opportunities, that are feeling it, the call to that, and don't know how, don't even know where to go. And all of their peers don't know either. Maybe their mentor's in a different state because they went to seminary in Texas or California. And then so they don't really have something here. And yeah, I do.
Do you have any examples of ones that have been particularly striking or unexpected?
I guess the one I'd like to think about is a substance abuse recovery program that we have here in town called The Refuge. I had Tom Thompson on very early in the podcast, and we were down in his facility in what some people call rough part of town, but certainly one of the trafficking hotspots. And then I connected one of his staff members with a lady who does data analysis. And they went and did this. I don't know how long the program was. It was months. And they created this report that showed the statistics for a kingdom-based return on investment. Mm-hmm. And it showed how effective the program was and people, and had all these infographics in it. And if those people had never been connected, they wouldn't have been able to share that. And now that report's being circulated among all these nonprofit leaders who say, we want to have something like that too. The donor base loves it. So I think that's probably one that is excited me the most, because it's a for-profit business led by a Christian. It's a nonprofit business. Not business, but nonprofit ministry, you know, led by a Christian and, you know, trying to help the city thrive.
That's awesome.
What I hear in those stories too, of just the ways that you're helping the church, you're connecting people to utilize their gifts for the church and for nonprofit and for kingdom work in ways that maybe they hadn't thought about using before. And it's like outside a lot of the standard church approaches sometimes to how we encourage people to utilize their gifts. I feel like this is a creative way to connect people and have them thinking outside the box.
So Adam, one of the themes, something we're trying to kind of keep before us, is we want pastors to ask better questions. Often at times as pastors, we think about, you know, what is success? Oh, it's having more people at my church, or having a bigger budget, or just some things that maybe don't line up super well with the kingdom. Mm-hmm. So thinking about the guests that make the cut for you, the ones that you feel like have a story worth telling, do you have a sense of what questions they're asking? What questions are they asking that make them noticeable to you?
I would probably say the common thread I would see the most is, what was the need I was uniquely positioned to meet?
I love that. Yes. Yeah.
And so there's so many people that their story was written for where they are now.
Yeah.
I love that. Yeah. Very particular. Their gift mix, their context, the community of, you know, their church community, their parachurch community, and then the hunger, the need that's out there, that how those things connect.
And now I think there certainly was with me for a long time, a fear that if we ask God, what does he want us to do? He's going to tell us to go do something crazy we don't enjoy.
Yeah.
And, you know, for 15 years, I've been a consultant to very large organizations, and I'm a patent engineer. And I thought, well, I'd never get to use my problem solving skills, but this Fort Columbus, you know, thing, and, you know, there, it's just a different type. I'm not designing individual parts or talking with division heads, but, you know, it's very similar in how my mind works. And man, if people would just, you know, be willing to say, what is it, and not think about the paradigm that exists today, they're probably going to be happy.
That probably takes a certain kind of person to have that kind of open imagination.
Takes a lot of courage.
That's cool that you're showcasing folks that have those those attributes that are really commendable.
It makes their conversation so easy. And a lot of people are afraid to come on the show, and they tell me, and then they get on and they're like, that was it? That was great. I didn't even know. And
Yeah.
Have you found that by being on your show, they are encouraged more in what they're doing?
Yes.
That's a great
question. Goal is to get them to not even know what's happening, for them to lose themselves in their story, because we've already talked and I know it's incredible. So how do I try to extract that amazing part out? And if they have emotional parts, for that emotions to be felt, they're usually jazzed. They've got another thing that they can show to donors or employees or people to say, hey, here's kind of a concise look at how we got to where we are today.
Yeah,
that's really cool. It's like a service you're providing to them with your podcast.
Yeah, just a little side bonus.
It's, you know, giving them something that they can walk away with to grow their vision and their mission. That's really cool.
Yeah. So I'm hoping that some of our listeners get inspired by what you're doing and think, oh, we could do this here. There's great stuff happening in our neighborhood, in our city that could be shared with other leaders in our city. What kind of advice would you give someone who's thinking about maybe starting a podcast, you know, for St. Paul or for Tacoma or something like that?
Eric, you're not leaving this podcast, are you?
Just theoretically.
For Tacoma or for St. Paul. I would say just do it. I know there's a lot of, okay, everyone has a podcast these days, and or I don't have the equipment, or I don't know how I'm going to do. You'll grow with it. Just start it and do it. I think the first 10 episodes are kind of the scariest part of it. If you record one or two and you can't get past that, then maybe there's an issue. But just say, hey, I'm going to try 5 or 10, and then if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But yeah, go for it.
How would you recommend they find their first couple interviews?
Yeah, I would make a list of people in the city they respect. Okay. And maybe they know them, maybe they don't know them. If they don't, and they know someone, you know, who's maybe one connection away, leverage that connection. You know, I certainly name dropped in the first set of people I brought on. And then it builds momentum, because it's like, oh yeah, we've had so-and-so on the show and so-and-so on the show. And they're like, oh, well, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't even have to send an intro letter anymore.
That's awesome.
That's just a couple of things I would say to get it going. Here's what I would say. Keep it simple. The simpler you can make it, the better. That goes with equipment. Yeah. So you can do it face-to-face recordings on an iPhone. You can buy one of those mics that plug in the bottom. You can literally record with your computer mic and headphones like we are on Zoom right now. Keep it simple. The scheduling, keep it simple. I have driven to dozens and dozens of locations and done it wherever we wanted, outside, rooftop, park, office. Just make it easy. You know, content trumps quality every single time.
Yeah, that
really is true.
Yeah.
I've listened to some pretty crappy audio quality because
you liked it, right? Yeah.
Absolutely.
So would you do anything differently if you started all over in a new city?
Oh, man. Yes. I would keep the format the same. I think it works really well, but I would be far more intentional about getting every sphere in early.
Okay.
What do you mean by sphere?
The congregational, the parachurch, and the marketplace, and then and government leaders. I focused a lot on pastors at the beginning, which I think was good, but the diversity across all of the different areas was so much better. And if I go back and look at all of the photos of the guests that have been on the show, it is a cornucopia of humanity. And I think getting outside of the pastures, include them, but getting outside would probably be the thing that I would do first.
Earlier on. So you kind of set that
earlier on.
Yeah. Yep. That's awesome. That's great.
If our listeners wanted to tune in to the For Columbus podcast, do you have a couple of episodes that you recommend they start out with?
Oh, man.
That's a good question.
So I'm in the process right now of renaming everything by subject. So instead of person, type in a subject.
Okay.
And we just have so many different subjects that I would say to scroll through and pick a topic that is meaningful to you. I think the one that certainly has the most listens is Steve Combs' first episode that he was on the show, where he talks about going from a really tough troublehood to being a, quote, biker pastor, to launching a church on a side of town that most church planters wouldn't want to be in, and then just the tremendous growth and impact that he's had on the community at his church, Leave a Mark. And that one's been good. But man, to pick one out, yeah, I would pick
they can listen to more than one, just, you know, where do they start? also, I want to hear from you, where can our listeners access your podcast?
Yeah, I mean, we're on iTunes, Spotify. If you've got Amazon Prime, you can just ask Alexa to play it. so just say For Columbus Podcast, and that'll come up on whatever podcast listener you're using.
All right. Well, Adam, listeners, y'all should tune in. Sounds
absolutely.
Like
that'd be great.
This has been great. Thank you so much, Adam. So fun to hear more about your passion, what you're doing. And I really do hope some of our listeners will take up the challenge and start telling the stories of their own communities. Because I know, like you've experienced, there's just so much going on that we don't see because we're busy with our own garden we're trying to work on. And we might be doing some cool stuff in our own neighborhood, but citywide, there's so much we're missing. You know,
yeah, and your city could be small. I mean, I have friends that are doing a similar podcast in the city, 100,000. Look, I'll make this offer. If you're a listener out there and you want to get one started in your city and you want to talk to me more, just get my contact information from Eric or Sarah Joy, and I'll reach out and help you if you want that.
Yeah,
that's
awesome. I would love to see more cities doing it.
That's so cool.
And I think what's so great about it is that doing this type of work, you're not necessarily going out and doing all of these efforts. You simply are highlighting and exposing the good work that's already being done. And I think that's such an important role that people in the church can play that they don't think of oftentimes, but they can play that role.
So. It's modern PR, right? It's a newspaper article on audio.
Yeah. So cool.
Cool.
Awesome. Well, Adam, thanks so much. Great.
Thanks, Eric. Thanks, Sarah Joy.
Recently, I published an essay with my partner at First and Main Films entitled, We Bring the Bonfire. In our essay, we reflected on the power of story as we had experienced it producing a film festival about placemaking and urbanism for the United Nations 10th World Urban Forum in Abu Dhabi in February 2020. In the section entitled, We Build the Cities We Imagine, we wrote the following. Scholars tell us that stories sink deep into our bones and picture for us what constitutes the good life. We then lean into those stories as characters in the narrative we've absorbed. If that's true, then where are people getting the stories and narratives that inspire the cities we're imagining, designing, and building today? Are today's city builders influenced by stories that inspire them to design and build cities and communities in ways best fit for human thriving? Or are they under the influence of bad stories and distorted ideas that can lead to inferior places being designed and built, places that lead to loneliness, inequality, and ruin? We can only do what we dream. We can build only what we can imagine. So we better have good stories to kickstart and shape our imaginations. And that brings us to the bonfire. Light a fire at a social gathering, and without prompting, people with beaming smiles will soon be gathered around, and the stories will be flowing. Anthropologists tell us this is no accident. It's deeply ingrained, from gathering around fires in groups for protection, cooking, warmth, socializing, and telling stories that build our social and cultural bonds. A fire ring is civilizing technology. At WWFTAN, our film festival was the bonfire. People from all around the world gathered to watch the flickering light and share stories. They left the hearth with heads and hearts full of inspiration, new connections, and renewed courage to make a difference. This podcast and For Columbus, a Shalom-inspiring bonfires. And like Adam says, you too can light a bonfire telling real and good stories to kickstart and shape imaginations for your city and for your neighborhood. If you've been stirred by this episode, take up Adam's challenge and start a For Columbus podcast in your city. Or perhaps start hosting a neighborhood open mic storytelling night in a funky neighborhood storefront and watch what happens. It may not seem like it, but you'll be planting serious placemaking seeds that God will water and grow. Finally, I want to make a very special Almond Center announcement that is very fitting for this episode. In spring 2022, we are launching the Almond Center Better Cities Film Festival. You can learn more about the film festival at our website, including how to submit a short film, and about the warm-up online screening we will be hosting this fall to give you a taste of what's to come in 2022. Check it out, and thanks for listening.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Embedded Church Podcast. Be sure to check out the episode show notes for links to resources and other helpful information related to this episode. If you'd like to connect with us to share comments or ideas about the work we're doing, we'd love to hear from you. You can send us an email at info@embeddedchurch.com or leave a voice message on our feedback line by dialing 760-527-3260. Follow us on Instagram at Embedded Church Podcast or visit our website, www.embeddedchurch.com. Finally, thank you to our Season 4 partners at Orman Center and to all of our faithful listeners and supporters who have helped us make it to Season 4. We are honored and encouraged. Until next time, be well.